And now we turn to the analysis of Shields and Brooks, that is syndicated columnist Mark Shields and New York Times columnist David Brooks. So all three of us are at our homes. It's great to see both you, Mark, and you, David, staying safe. Let's start with President Trump's decision to turn over to the governors, the decision about whether and when to open up. Mark, we've seen the state of Georgia, other states moving quickly to reverse the stay-at-home orders. There are questions being raised about whether it's too early. The president himself at point backing down on his support for this. How do you read all this?
It's you have to watch it closely, Judy. I mean, last weekend, the president was in bold type, tweeting out to liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, to put pressure on Democratic governors there to lift the bans and lift the quarantine. Kemp, the governor of Georgia, who was the last in the country to impose stay-at-home rules, wants to be the first to lift them, and thought he had a green light from the president, I guess. But the president doesn't forget the fact that while he is a loyal supporter of Mr. Kemp's, it's an off and on thing, because Kemp, if you'll recall, just at a petty political point, instead of appointing to Johnny Isaacson's vacancy in the United States Senate, Doug Collins, the congressman from Georgia who had been so close to the president, he appointed instead Kelly Loeffler. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump, the president, was told, according to reports from CNN, by Anthony Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, that he could not support and would not defend the lifting of the quarantine in Georgia. So he backed off. It appears to be a cynical political ploy with the following formula. For anything that improves the economy, the president gets credit. For any increase in the pandemic and incidence of disease and death, that has been the decision of the governor.
And so, David, I mean, the president, by doing this, is passing on responsibility to the governors, for better or worse.
Yeah, and I'm happy about it. I don't want life or death decisions made by a guy who thinks this can be solved by drinking disinfectant. So if you can get it out of the White House, we're getting into safer and better hands. There's like a division of powers here. The federal government is there to dole out money and to organize some of the testing and things like that. And so far, it's doing a reasonably good job of doling out a lot of money. But the states are there to make the decisions about their own states. If you had people in Wyoming thinking that Washington was going to determine their life or death, they would rebel against Washington. If you had a lot of progressive areas thinking that Donald Trump was going to determine life or death decisions, they would rebel against Donald Trump. So I think it's just much better to be doing this on the local level. The one final thing I'll say, we tend to jam up conflict, but in this, I think we're overstating how much conflict there is in America. Americans, considering how polarized, we're amazingly united right now. 98% of Democrats and 82% of Republicans support the social distancing. 90% of Americans, complete bipartisan consensus, believe that if we loosen too much, there'd be a second wave. 76% of Americans say even if their governor did loosen, they wouldn't go out. And so, to me, the big story here is we're sort of hanging together through this.
Evidently so, if you believe those polls. But Mark, going back to what David mentioned a moment ago, and that is the president's statement yesterday about injecting ultraviolet light or disinfectant into ourselves. I mean, today the White House is saying that was just a joke. They didn't mean it. But there have been other statements that he's made about endorsing this anti-malaria drug that the experts are saying cannot be relied on. What are the American people to make of all this?
Well, Judy, I think maybe the most unreported story of the week was Piers Morgan, the British television journalist, who's a friend of the president, one of the 47 people on Twitter the president has access to. He's given three interviews to British television, all his presidency, all three to Piers Morgan. And Piers Morgan went public and said what an awful lot of Trump supporters and Trump critics have been saying, and that is, Mr. President, you're really hurting yourself. in these daily conferences, that you're coming across as self-aggrandizing, as self-interested, as really not a leader, concerned more basically about your own re-election than you are about the health and well-being of the people who elected you. And I really think that that crystallized criticism. A number of Republicans have followed, and I think you'll see the president backing off. Yesterday's performance was the worst. I mean, to say Lysol is a possibility for inhalation, sarcastically, he's not Will Rogers. He's not Jerry Seinfeld. He's not a man known for a sense of humor. It wasn't sarcasm. It was just Donald Trump being absolutely reckless and irresponsible. And I think they've seen his numbers drop. And I think that the daily press conference has been the principal contributing factor to it.
And David, just in the last hour, the White House has let it be known that they are now going to be cutting short these daily briefings, some of which have gone on for 2 hours and longer. So, I mean, how much in the end does it matter what the president is saying at a time like this? Are the American people, how much do they need to hear from their political leader, and how much do they need to hear from medical experts?
They need medical experts. It's a morale destroyer. It's tough on morale. It's a drain on all of us. And even the Trump supporters feel drained by his foolery. But I don't think it's really damaged the way people act. A funny thing has happened. I noticed in my local grocery store, like a month ago, maybe 5% of the people were wearing masks. Then it was 30%. And then it suddenly flipped and was 70%. And starting 2 weeks ago, if you weren't wearing a mask, even before the law came down, people spoke to you and said, you need to go get a mask. And so what that shows to me is a community setting new norms, setting new moral standards, having new expectations of how we should protect one another. And when I see a community acting as one, like in the grocery store, and we all see it, then you see a community that's basically healthy, that where people are understand the obligations they have to each other. And that was not automatic going into this. Most plagues, that's not how people behaved. So I think it hurts our morale, what Trump does, but I wouldn't say it's destroyed it.
Interesting what you say about, you see people at the grocery store, we're seeing much the same thing. David, I mean, Mark, I want to quickly come to what Congress was able to do this week, and that is in passing legislation to provide more support for small businesses, some of it for hospitals and others. How much difference is this aid going to make? How much more is going to be needed? We're already seeing worry about the size of the deficit, of the debt the country is going to owe when all this is over. Where does the argument land there?
I don't know how much difference it's going to make. I say this, Judy, the immortal Dante, as FDR referred to him, weighs the sins of the cold-hearted and the sins of the warm-hearted on a different scale. In other words, this is reaching out to people who had not, who had been left out of the first aid, to minorities, to women, to small, really small businesses, not publicly traded companies, which hundreds of millions of dollars of small business aid went to hospitals, the people who are on the front line and dealing with this terrible tragedy every day. To me, it showed an awareness and an understanding. I don't think anybody understands the gravity economically. It's going to be, it is enormous. It will be enormous. But right now, what we've seen is sort of a bait and switch on the part of Republicans. They said, oh, you could do the aid to local cities and states. And the next one, I said, Kevin McCarthy, the Republican House leader, and now Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, says there will be no next one.
So, David, just in a few words, how much is the worry about the debt, the deficit, going to be part of this going forward as people are hurting?
Yeah, I don't think it should be. In wartime, even fiscal conservatives believe in spending. They've done a good thing, this Paycheck Protection Act for small businesses. It's impressive how much money they've gotten out the door. There's somebody in the Small Business Administration who's probably working 18-hour days. A lot of people are probably working days to get that much money. I've sort of been impressed by how much they've got out the door, the money for testing. They're bickering, but they did something good this week. They spent hundreds of billions of dollars, and they passed a very complicated piece of legislation on a bipartisan basis. It's funny to me that the members of Congress even when they do something good, they can't take a victory lap. They're so used to just bickering and bickering and bickering.
In just about 45 seconds we have left, I want to ask each of you how you're doing, staying at home all the time or almost all the time. Mark, how is it going?
Well, Judy, I'm rereading Tolstoy for the third time, and no, I'm not. I've rearranged my sock drawer, and I'm doing fine. I've got a wonderful roommate, and I've had the same one for half a century, and I'm just finding new and wonderful things about her every day.
Pretty great roommate. We know Ann Shields. David, what about you? How are you holding up? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm blessed. I've got a good five group of people here in my little Forged family, and I'm playing my son in ping pong ferociously. I'm hoping to develop a backhand by the end of this. So there are little blessings amid the great worry that we're all going through, but there are little blessings, even in these days with family.
I feel the same way. So much more to be grateful for than the other way around. Well, we are grateful to the two of you, David Brooks, Mark Shields. Thank you, and please stay safe.
Thank you, Judy.